As an ice cream lover, vanilla is one of those flavors that's just always going to hit the spot. It's comforting and nostalgic, and it goes well with whatever mood I'm in. But sometimes vanilla can be a little boring, if you catch my drift. Sometimes I'm in the mood for chocolate or cookie dough or maybe something wacky, like pistachio if I'm feeling frisky. Whether it's a midnight snack or an afternoon delight, my friends at adamandeve.com can get you the right flavor for whatever mood you're in. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, plus free shipping, which includes rush processing. But that's not all. When you select your one free item, you'll also get a free kit that includes an item for him, something special for her, and something we know you'll both enjoy. They offer discreet shipping as your privacy is a priority, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. Just enter offer code Abby, A-B-B-Y, at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby, code Abby.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, it's Cassie, and have y'all seen those cute pins floating around the internet that look like a charging status so you can tell people where you're at with your social battery and whether or not you need to be left alone? Right now, mine would be hovering just above red. I've been so busy that I'm just drained and I need to recharge, which means hibernating without seeing anybody. And you know what made me realize that was okay to do? Therapy. I thought I was being lazy, but in reality, I was giving my body and mind some much-needed R&R, and that wasn't a bad thing. In fact, it was a good thing. Therapy changed my perspective, and that's why I'm a big advocate for therapy, like the kind you can get with BetterHelp. Therapy isn't just for people who have experienced severe trauma. It's to give you the tools to deal with everyday issues that are bugging you, big or small. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BurtShow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BurtShow.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Abby has had a Burt Show epiphany.
Is that what we're calling it?
I'm not really sure what it is, so I'm not really sure how to tease it.
Oh, you don't?
I think I might. Is this about the video that I showed you on the way out the other day? Okay.
That's what we're bringing up today. So right. I feel like the women on this show, we're very good about being vocal about things that kind of get under our skin, whether it's Kaylee calling us females or if it's somebody sending us photoshopped photos of our smiles and asking why our smiles are too open and too aggressive, if you will. And so something happened last week that made me think, maybe the women need to flip the script a little bit and ask the males of the Burt Show if there's anything that might be getting under their skin that we as women are unconsciously doing.
I do hear this complaint often that women can rail on men, but men can't rail on women.
Exactly.
Well, I wonder why that is. Well, let's dig a little deeper on why that is.
It's because women are the oppressed class in that situation.
Yeah.
If we don't have the same equal rights as men, we're not treated the same way across the board. And so, as part of a member of specifically women, a class that is oppressed in some way or unequal in some way, we are allowed to call out when there's unfair representation, stereotypes, or characterization of
us. Now try being a minority woman.
Right.
I don't know that's necessarily what we're talking about here, though, is it?
A little bit.
Because what you're saying is like, look, we should be able to punch up because we've been punched down on for so long and dudes should just be able to take it?
No, I'm not saying punch up. I'm saying call out problematic behavior or call out things that aren't great. Like calling a woman a female is dehumanizing. That's not punching up to me. That's, hey, you don't, and I don't blame dudes who use that word. I don't think are bad guys at all. I'm not trying to come down on them. It's trying to me trying to educate, being like, hey, when you use that word, it sends a message. It's been used pejoratively for so long. Don't do that anymore. It's disrespectful.
But I think your point, I think we're talking about two different things. I just want to get on the same page.
So that's taking the serious route, going like to a more like a superficial, like when we're talking about dating or like all guys are dogs, cheaters, liars. There is, I feel like women, I feel like men, no, because I don't want to mansplain.
So what I specifically am bringing to the table is a comment that I have been repeatedly saying, in my opinion, jokingly. Mm-hmm. And I think I wonder if sometimes men just take those kinds of jokes in stride and just kind of don't really say anything. But if it actually is bothersome, I think women are better about speaking up about, hey, that's actually, you shouldn't say that. It's actually really offensive to me.
Do the men on the show feel like women can call out, like, if we're not talking like serious matters that have historical reference, like calling a woman a female, on something that's a little more generic? And our show is a female leaning based show, and we talk a lot about dating. We talk a lot about infidelity. So do you feel that we can come down harder on men in certain situations than men can come down harder on women?
Yes. 100%.
Okay.
And I personally don't get offended by it because I don't take it personally. Mm-hmm. But when I see the comments of men saying like, well, you know, we couldn't come on air and call women sewer rats, whether it was jokingly or not, it would be taken a whole different way. And, mm-hmm. and we would get a lot of different response to it. I mean, that's true.
I do think that it's an audience-based thing also. I mean, like you said, we're predominant. It takes so much to offend me, you guys. I just think that we've been doing this for so long, and I've never really taken a whole bunch of things personally. Mm-hmm. So I just don't get offended. It takes a lot. Like, you have to, like, offend my kids or my fiance or my family, close friends, for me to be offended. But if it's about me, it takes a lot.
Or, yeah, if it's just about men in general.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah. So I brought this to the table because all last week I was making a lot of jokes about how I'm really into tall guys. And to me, this is me just leaning in on something that's very stereotypical about women, about how we love tall guys. And you can only be 6'4", I only date you if you're 6'3". And as I was leaving the show on Friday, Bert pulls me over and he's like, hey, I want to show you this TikTok.
This is a TikTok that has been sent to me probably by 12 different people.
And I won't get into like the nitty gritty of what it was, but it was basically like women's comments about men's heights can lead them to take drastic measures to cope with that. And I kind of left the show feeling like, oh my gosh, am I saying things that are kind of getting under the male's skin?
I know you don't want to get into the nitty gritty, but I was in here and I listened to it and I will.
Okay.
because it was a dude who was very impassioned about the fact women won't date short guys, right? He is a short king. He had a friend who was a short king, and was is the word there, and apparently ended up taking his life because he was constantly being put down because of his short stature. And it was he came in hard.
Very, very aggressive.
Very, very hard.
Right.
And lashing out at all women who choose to dismiss men strictly based on their height. And that's how Bert chose to end the show that day.
I'm like, Abby, take a look at this.
Have a good weekend.
Yes, literally. We were like, we both sat here and watched it, and they were like, okay, well, have fun doing whatever you're doing this weekend.
As Abby was leaving the studio, I was literally yelling, murderer!
And that's how I felt.
Yeah.
So I will say
this. It was intense.
It was intense.
It was very intense.
So I will say this. I don't know anything about the dude that took his life, right? I would venture to say if you take your life because of that, there are more issues than you just being short.
Yes.
So, but we don't know anything more about the situation. But the way that this guy was coming on strong, he was almost making it sound like the reason why he took his life is because women wouldn't go out with him because he was short. I don't know this dude. I don't think that was completely the reason. I showed it to you not because I get offended when you say it. Maybe there's 10% of me that does, only because I know that struggle my entire life, right? But do I get offended by it? No, I laugh it off, actually. There's nothing I can do about it now. I'm insecure about my height. Always have been. Probably always will be, right? But when I did see that, and I got it sent so many different times, I didn't share it with you as to like, look what you're doing to men when you say that. It was more like, I just want to let you know what you have done here.
That I'm enforcing that behavior,
you are
essentially.
You're enforcing this behavior. But it wasn't done to, like, in some passive-aggressive way to tell you, like, hey, stop making fun of short dudes.
No, and that's not what I was getting at. It was more of, like, for example, the sewer rat comment that I made yesterday. Do you hear that and go, I wish I could say, don't call us sewer rats, but you can't because you're a woman? Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, are there things that women constantly make comments about, or just like passive statements that have just that you wish as a man women would be more sensitive
gentlemen,
about?
Gentlemen, let's talk about your feelings.
Let's talk about feelings.
I mean, I don't personally, I don't like go home wishing I could ask women to stop saying certain things or be a certain way. It genuinely doesn't bother me at all. But I mean, there is a double standard there. Mm-hmm. It's fairly obvious to me. Like, you can't. Another example is you can't comment on a woman's body, and you shouldn't, period. And if you do, you'll hear about it. But if a woman comments on a man's body, says something about him coming up short or anything of that nature, it's just like brushed away. Like, it's nothing. Like, it's easy. But if the roles are reversed, you can't do that.
I do feel like there are times on the show that Mo and I are giving a guy's perspective, right? Based on what we know about guys and our guy friends and stuff like that. And women get offended by that truth and have labeled it as misogynistic mm-hmm. from time to time, when I feel like, look, we are just trying to give you guys kind of a page out of the playbook. And I don't think it's misogynistic, but it has been labeled that way.
That so just because it's a truth and reality doesn't mean it can't be both. And it can be a truth and it can be something your friends think. And it can still be misogynistic, just like women commenting on men's bodies. You're right. There is a double standard. We can also address the fact that women's bodies are policed more heavily in terms of looks, but that doesn't mean men don't suffer too. And I don't think it's right for women to comment on men's bodies or not date someone because they're short. I think that's a load of BS. So it can be both and. You know, we live in one reality, but that doesn't mean we can't strive for a better one.
Yeah, and again, I'm also sensitive to this too, because I've been doing this for a lot longer than these guys have. I'm a little bit older also, and grew up in a place of humor where you could be politically incorrect and it was kind of like brushed off. Some things have never been funny. I understand that, but I think that we are living in such a sensitive society now that if we can't talk about our truths and laugh, if I can't laugh at myself for being short, which I do quite often, hide the tears.
It's even in your bio. Life is short, so am I.
That people, you know, every time that there is a joke in every medium, essentially, there has to be the butt of a joke for it to be funny, right? The jokes are always funny until they are about you. And then they're not funny anymore. And then the labels start coming and it creates an environment of creativity and fun that has been much more challenging recently than it has been for me in any other year.
So essentially what you're saying is I can still rag on guys for being short?
Ain't going to get any heat from me. I'm just going to continue showing you videos of guys that have been very, very hurt by it.
Perfect.
Okay,
perfect.
Very hurt by it.
Get it? The Burt Show.
All right, our intern Mikey here. Reverse catfish that could have got you in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I'll tell you what that means in a second. Reverse catfish I got. I got myself into quite a conundrum. So here's what happened. I was walking out of a bar one night, and I start to talk to this lady. Can I say lady?
Yes. Actually, I'm offended by that.
Okay, no lady. So I start to talk to this lady. We hit it off. We exchange Snapchats, which, if you don't know, exchanging Snapchats means almost nothing. It's like the... It means you just have like a directory of people that you don't remember.
Yeah. It's like the bare minimum.
Yeah, it's like I learned this one lady taught me that you got to get the phone number if you're actually serious about something. If you want the Snapchat, it means absolutely nothing. But at the time, I'm taking this psychology class and we're reading the book Modern Romance by Aziz Ansari. And I got inspired.
Wait, wait, modern sorry. Philosopher.
Aziz Ansari is
Aziz
your textbook.
Ansari. Yeah. That was our only required textbook for this class.
I kind of love it.
The way you pronounce that, it took me a minute to realize who you were talking about. I was like, yes, the great philosopher next to Socrates.
You know, Mr. Aziz Ansari.
Right. The comedian.
Yeah.
This is the Forsyth coming out in you right now. Okay.
Like a fool, I get inspired. It's talking all about taking chances. Put yourself out there. I say, all right, I'll do it, Aziz. I will do it. So I decide I'm going to Snapchat this lady. She'd been Snapchatting me. I said, would you like to go grab a slice of pizza with me? And she said, yeah. So we go on this date. It's all going good. Hitting it off. Everything's great. I end up asking her a question like, something like, where'd you go to high school? And to me, she said, I'm in high school.
No.
But you met her outside a bar?
Yeah. 18 and up bar. And I said, what?
What?
How you spell that?
It's W-H-H-H-A-T.
Okay. Emphasis on the H.
Yeah, okay. I said, what? And then I did a lot of gasps. the date turned sideways.
So you're actually out on the date?
Oh, yeah.
When you
asked
her.
We're sitting there eating pizza.
You think she's legal?
Yeah. I asked her if she wanted a beer.
Did you bill her mom?
bill her mom for
babysitting?
Okay right now.
Did you ask her what year in high school she was by any chance?
I think so. I think, well, she said senior, but that's not where it ends. I said senior, not good, but not illegal.
That was a lie.
Not good, but not illegal.
I guarantee you that was a lie.
So yeah, at this point, the entire energy of the date changes. I go from, you know, like sitting there with my elbows on the table, like looking into her eyes and everything. I turned into a school counselor. I'm saying, oh no, you'll do great in college. What do you think you want to major in? It turned all sideways. She eventually tells me both of her parents are cops.
Guys, wow.
Guys,
she's getting better. Out of control.
I thought old Chris Hansen was about to pop out from around the corner. It started getting sketchy, so I said, all right, finish that pizza. We're out of here. She got a free pizza.
Were you Chuck E. Cheese, by the way?
No.
Was it her suggestion to go to Chuck E. Cheese?
I picked her up from the bus stop. Yeah, but there were a couple red flags. Like, she wouldn't let me pick her up from her house. I was taught that's a gentlemanly thing to do. Here's a little tip. You text them whenever you leave your house. Whenever you get there, you go up and you knock on the door. That's what I learned. That was my goal. She said, no, I'll already be down there. Turns out she just didn't want me to go to her parents' house.
Sure. Yeah. To be fair, I wouldn't let a stranger I just met pick me up at my house if I were dating in my 30s.
Times have changed,
I'm a
man.
Good fella. I'm not going to do nothing.
I don't know. You're dating a high schooler, dude.
Unknowingly.
Took out a Chuck E. Cheese. It's nasty.
You could have checked her snap and seen her wearing her Letterman jacket during cheer practice.
Yeah. I wasn't invited to the birthday party.
She at least invite you to a prom?
Oh. Second date is graduation.
Yeah, so turns out the young lady is a 17-year-old.
No.
And that pretty much ends it.
Yeah. He's like, for legal reasons, I can't continue.
I walked away and I brushed myself off. I said, oh, God.
So how do you recoup? Like, how do you recover from that? Has that changed your dating game, having been, like, reverse catfish?
Well, yeah, it's stopped.
Why is that reverse catfish, by the way?
I'm calling it reverse catfish because I feel like a classic is, like, you're older than what you say you are.
Okay.
But she didn't even say that. You assumed because she was at the bar, she was 21. So
yeah.
She wasn't really misleading you. You just didn't ask the right question.
Well, I'm going to call it misleading because if I had a set of horns and I'm going on a date and I didn't tell who I'm dating that I have a set of horns, I think that's misleading for sure. So I'm calling it reverse catfish.
Okay. All right. So back to the original question. Has that changed your dating game?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm aiming for adults mostly.
I know. But how are you ensuring?
I think that's a good pivot.
You're snagging in an adult.
Well, I say, are you in high school?
He's scanning their ID outside the Chuck E. Cheese.
Dude, some dudes check IDs.
And they should,
apparently. In some communities, they have to check IDs to make sure people are of age.
Is that right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. IDs are fake. That's just the reality of the world.
All right.
See, and who says we're not like NPR? There's a real life lesson right here from our intern. Well done, sir. Well done.
Thank you, Mikey.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Euphoria creator Sam Levinson and The Weeknd have teamed up for a new show, and it is getting terrible reviews. Like, it's the worst HBO show ever reviewed type bad. So the show is called The Idol, and it's about a cult leader that's played by The Weeknd who becomes the love interest of a rising pop star who's played by Lily Rose Depp. If I'm not mistaken, I think there was a rumor going around that this was actually loosely based on Britney Spears. That's just a rumor as of now, but it was supposed to take the spot of Succession as like the new big Sunday night show on HBO. But if you look at Rotten Tomatoes, the show is currently sitting at 17%.
Ooh. Why is it getting so universally panned?
A lot of people are saying that it's like softcore corn.
Porn.
Can we say that on the radio?
You can say porn.
Okay, softcore porn. There you go.
I'm still unsure about the rules.
Corn. No.
That's all right.
Yeah, you said softcore corn.
Yeah, I thought that was a thing.
But that's what the kids say.
They say softcore corn?
They say corn when they don't want to say porn.
Shut up.
Oh.
Is this a talk thing? This is a TikTok thing.
Mm-hmm. It's so TikTok doesn't flag it and take it down.
Is this why you can't say death? You have to say like unalived?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Serious?
Yeah. There's so many rules on the wild, wild web.
Why don't we even talk anymore?
I don't know. you literally can't say dead on TikTok, so people say unalived.
Yeah, which means the same thing, but whatever. So basically people are saying that it's just unnecessary.
Gratuitous
scenes. And so it's at 17% on Rotten Tomatoes, and on Metacritic it's at 27%, which is not that much better. And so far all the critics have only seen about the first two episodes at Cannes. So maybe it could get better. It's not looking good though. It could get worse. It probably could get worse.
That just makes me really intrigued to at least give it 15 minutes. If I gave Bama Rush 15 minutes, I got to give this 15 minutes.
At least 15, if not 17. The new season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians is almost, it premiered today, which means Khloe Kardashian can finally start using her son's real name.
Oh, hallelujah.
She's been keeping it under wraps. I do want to know, what she's been calling her son. If she's really been keeping it a secret from the general public, does she have a nickname for him? She just calling him, baby?
I call Jimmy Bubba.
Bubba.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, Bubba.
Aw. So it's been confirmed by Khloe that his name is, in fact, Tatum, which is what the reports were saying. We knew it was going to be a name that started with T because we have their first child together, her and Tristan. We have baby True. Now we have Tatum, Tristan, and then Khloe. So she's the odd one out here.
So I'm going to say something that is going to make me... If you disliked me before, you're going to hate me.
Okay, I'm ready.
So I listened to... Have you guys listened to Jay Shetty's interview with Kim Kardashian this week?
I've heard segments. And Abby played us one earlier.
Yeah, she was talking about motherhood. Mm-hmm. Sounded very relatable.
I thought she was great. After I listened to it, I'm like, I have a totally different opinion about her. I want to be friends with her.
I think Kim Kardashian is whip smart and plays dumb.
I don't even feel her playing dumb.
I don't think she plays dumb anymore.
No, I mean, not anymore, but mm-hmm. Her image or stuff, I think she has come off in the past as kind of a valley girl or very superficial. I think she's highly intelligent and calculated.
Sort of like a Paris Hilton situation.
Yes, same with Paris. The more coming out about Paris now, the more I'm listening to her talk. Hella smart, very compassionate, big-hearted, kind. None of this valley girl stuff that you think that she is and the persona she had on in the 2000s.
They still kind of have that California cadence. I mean, I grew up with it, so I know it. So it sounds kind of valley girlish. But the words that were coming out of her mouth to Jay Shetty, I just really thought, I have reframed the way I look at her.
The words were wording.
They're very wording.
However, I've seen articles. She's still getting railed because of being... I don't know if the word is tone deaf or talking about how difficult mothering is, which it is, no matter how, no matter your socioeconomic status. Being a mom is hard, whether you're rich or whether you're poor or anything in between.
It's a lot easier if you're rich, I'd say.
Yes, and I think that's what people are getting at, because the way she was saying some things, they were like, it seemed to come across like, if you can only imagine what a single mom who had to work multiple jobs is going through.
Well, and I agree with that sort of criticism, only because I don't know. The way that she paints her mornings is like this frantic, hectic morning where she's the one trying to get all four kids ready. One needs attention, then the other one needs attention. She's trying to do one's hair while the other one is screaming. And I was thinking as she was saying this, is very relatable stuff, but... Do you also have somebody in the house that's helping you with two of the four kids? Because I would find it hard to believe that she's really doing all that hands-on stuff herself.
And that's what we discussed in a previous e-buzz of Abby's is you probably have a nanny for each kid. But but that, once again, is assuming, and what's one of the four agreements?
You don't assume.
Yeah. Also, another good interview with Jay Shetty is the Kendall Jenner one.
I have heard them all. Yeah. He's great. Mm.
Kanye West is getting sued by Gap. What? I'll tell you all the details on your next e-buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Stakes here are so high. They're so high. I said yesterday, man, I am just really not looking forward to this. I mean, she just had this baby 4 months ago. But you guys said she wants to know. She wants to know. And it's her decision, right?
It is her decision because, as you like to say on this show, she a grown-ass woman.
I know, but If this goes sideways, you guys are delivering the bad news.
No. Your name is still on the show. Yeah. If we're going to do this.
Well, can I take all the logos and leave with me?
All right, fine. Fine. If it is bad news, Mo will deliver it.
That's brave of you, Kristen.
Toss it right
there.
That's
Kristen stepping up.
Abby, now you get to toss it to Katie. Okay, Katie.
Hey, Kelsey. Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, we're joking here, man, but I feel the pressure and I feel like what's on the line here, right? And it's happening in a public forum and I hate that you're even at this point right now to do something like this. So for those that weren't here yesterday and didn't get to hear the email that you sent us, kind of bring us up to speed on why you're feeling the way you are right now about your husband.
I mean, I just had a baby, beautiful girl, love her. And I just feel like my hormones are off. I'm not really sure, really. I don't know. But I just feel like my husband is cheating. I don't know. I mean, I found this receipt for this restaurant, and he says that it was a work business thing, and I just want to know, because I just don't know if I can, I don't know if I'll be able to handle it. Like, I don't know what to do.
All right, so, Kelsey, mom to mom, yeah. These inklings that you have about your husband, we're going to put those aside. Mom to mom, how are you doing right now?
I just feel a little overwhelmed. You know, it's a lot. And
first
I'm
baby?
Not used to. Yes, my first child and our first child. And my relationship with my husband has always been amazing. He's always been very super supportive. And, you know, it's just, I feel a little overwhelmed, and now I can't tell if he's just being distant, you know, and, but I mean, it's, you know, nobody really tells you about the whole postpartum thing, you
know,
like nobody ever really talks about it, and it's tough, you know, it's really tough.
It's very tough. It's going to be especially tough on you because of the changes your body is going through. And I do feel like it's not discussed enough and openly. I think, Cassie, you're on the same page as that. It's like everybody tells you what to do for the baby when the baby gets here. Nobody right. tells you what to do for you after you've had the baby.
Because it feels selfish, right? I mean, that the first thought is selfish, that if you share that with anybody, they're going to go, but you got a new baby.
Well, but right? The thing is, like, a woman's body changes so much, like from a physical standpoint, from an emotional standpoint, from a mental standpoint. And like you said, with the hormones, like what your body goes through to create life and then to give birth, and what it has to go through afterwards needs to be discussed. Because it's not just, it's just such a vital conversation.
You feel like a failure too. If when you see everyone else, nobody else is talking about it.
Yeah.
Everything's all hunky dory and you're struggling. But here's the thing, Kelsey, yeah. not to get all up in your business, but we kind of already are. Baby blues last about a couple weeks after giving birth. I just want mm-hmm. you to be on alert, and you don't have to divulge any info. But if you're continuing to feel like really sad, I mean, it's going to be overwhelming regardless, but if you're feeling sad, you're having some extra anxiety or intrusive thoughts, those can be signs of postpartum depression, and you need to talk to your OB or a therapist about it, because it can spiral and get worse. And I'm here to let you know, I went through it myself, and there is help out there, and it helps. And a lot of people, because it's so new having the baby, you don't recognize that's what it is. You just think you're overwhelmed when it could be something chemical.
Right, right. No, I appreciate that. I think there's just a little, you know, a little bit of that. And I think my biggest thing is I could just get through this thing with my husband. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That if I can get that off of my mind, I feel like that would relieve a little bit of it. You know, I just feel like my mind, I hope that it's just my mind playing tricks on me. I hope that, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think in the overall scheme of things, both scenarios are going to be very difficult, no matter what the results are here, because if dude's cheating, I mean, that's a whole set of other circumstances. But you know, if you now realize like this is the hormones and I'm seeing things that aren't even there, maybe, then at least you can get those fixed. You can see somebody about that and they can guide you through that. So it's certainly the best case scenario, but neither one are great. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So the signs have been, he's been going out. You see the receipts. You said he's kind of been shady with his phone also.
Oh, man. I mean, it's like all of a sudden I can't reach him. And, you know, when I was pregnant, I could reach him all the time. But now it's like I can go like a couple hours and I'm not able to reach him. You know what I mean? And it just, everything just seems a little off, you know, with us.
And I want to address, like, you know, what you're going through, I feel is, you know, not that there's a normal or abnormal, but what you're going through is typical. You have to remember the father, that they deal with, some fathers deal with postpartum depression as well. And it can be a difficult transition, especially since you already have this bond with the baby that you carried for 9 months. So it could take him or the partner a little longer to really kind of embrace that role.
It's really the very first time that I took therapy seriously, you know, when my kid was born, and I just felt like I didn't have a connection with my son. What? And I just felt like, oh my God, I'm my dad and I'm not going to let that happen. So that's when I got into therapy, but I was going through the same feelings, man. Like I said yesterday, you having a kid, I mean, it puts a mirror up to you and you see the best of you, your best of you and your kid and the worst of you, right? So, all right, let's at least get you some results so we know what we got to deal with here.
All right, so I'm going to do something a little different here. Kelsey, my heart goes out to you, and I know you're going through a lot right now. And typically on the show, for dramatic effect, we read through, like, the promotional email we sent and the flower arrangements. I'm just going to get right down to it and tell you exactly who we sent the flowers to, okay?
Okay.
Because I just don't want to put you through all that. Kelsey, he sent the flowers to you, babe. Okay, he chose the classic bouquet of long stem roses. He's sending them to you, and on the note, the note on the card says, "Just because and just for you, I love you, Austin." Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't want to. I didn't want to drag that out.
So that's really, 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 really great news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I
know.
I feel so stupid.
No.
Don't at all.
Don't do that. Don't come down on yourself. Listen, you need to give yourself a little bit of grace, and you need to give your husband a little bit of grace. But at the same time, communication, as trite as it sounds, is so key and important, especially those first few months after you bring a baby into the mix. You and he really need to sit down and get on the same page so you can be teammates together and be support for each other.
Yeah, I feel like I'm being a little selfish too. And I just want to know how I can also be supportive. So, cause I don't want him to like avoid my phone calls. Like, is that why I can't reach him? Or, you know what I mean? Like, God, I feel like an idiot, but I'm so happy about it.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
And Kelsey, I think because he's a new parent too, I think if you go from the perspective of like, hey, I'm struggling, I'm feeling alone, don't accuse him of stuff. But if once you accuse, that's when the fights start. But if you go in like, I'm feeling this way, I need extra support. And also, I think what can I do for you as well? How can we do this better together? I think that's going to be a lot easier conversation.
And under no circumstances do you tell him you did this.
No.
No.
Okay.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
But you, right, you
get yourself some flowers.
Yeah, whenever you have time, if you can. We unfortunately don't have it in the budget to send roses. So if you can send yourself some roses, that would be awesome.
It'll feel good too.
You've earned it, girl. You've earned it. Yeah.
I do appreciate, and I just want to say, I also appreciate you saying about the men going through depression too.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that, so thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Kelsey, we will check in with you in a couple of weeks. Hope everything is okay.
Thank you so much.
It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
It's a good question. Your parents come on over and they bust something in your house. You have the right to go, hey, you got to pay for that. Mom, dad, or do you just bury it?
So this is the debate that Katie and I had on our podcast in the moment, and I'm curious as to what you guys think as parents for sure, And I also think this makes it official that I am a better son than Katie is daughter, which I take pride in because, you know, Katie is mama's baby.
Once again, I will say this about your podcast with Katie. And again, it's called In the Moment. There are things that stun me that come out of Katie's mouth. There's nothing that comes out of your mouth that really surprises me. I feel like I know who you are, right? In and out. Katie, however, from time to time, has an edge to her that I never see on this show.
She opens up. It surprises me, too.
All right, so Katie, I know you have a love for Beyonce, and we all know Beyonce's onstage alter ego is Sasha Fierce. So we get Katie on the Burr Show. Who are you on the podcast in the moment?
Diane.
Who the hell is Diane?
Are you serious right now? Diane
sometimes don't give a F.
No.
That's her last name. Diane F.
Are you dirty, Diane? Are you dirty, Diane?
You know it.
So this conversation came up, and once again, I had no idea which direction Dirty Diane was going to go in.
Oh, now we got Little Papoosa and Dirty Diane. Aww. I love it so much.
And it all started because I was making fun of the fact that as you get older, or at least for me, I find joy in my parents doing things that I used to get in trouble for when I was a kid. Like my dad accidentally crashed my car before, and I didn't really care about the car. I was happy that I could make fun of my dad for making a mistake that if I had done it would have went a whole different way. Mm-hmm. So things like that, down to them leaving the lights on in my apartment all the time, to my dad spilling Coca-Cola all over my carpet, like these moments, right? So the most recent one is my mom comes over and she forgets her laptop charger. So somehow, some way, she's sitting at my bar and I can see it. Like I came out the room and the way she said my name with this like innocence that I have never heard before in my life, it was like, Reese. I'm like, okay.
What'd you do, Mom?
Right.
The roles have reversed.
Exactly. So I'm getting a kick out of it. And she hands me like my Apple charger. And she somehow was sitting at the bar working on her laptop and accidentally, I guess the cord got caught under the bar stool and she yanked it out of the computer. So it's completely broken, damaged, can't use it again. And if you've ever had to replace an Apple charger, you know they're not the cheapest things in the world. So it was a moment of like, I never really thought about this, but what do I do here? Right? Because my mom is saying, oh, don't worry about it. I'll get you a new one. Yeah. But as a son, I felt horrible. Like,
why?
Because of all of the things my mother has done for me. Like, aww, like include raise me. Like that.
Birth <Right? Earth> me.
So I went to Katie and I'm like, you ever been in a situation like this? And like, what is the right thing to do as the child in this situation? Like, your parents have done so much for you. So obviously, there's the part of me that's like, all right, I don't want to cough up this money to get a charger that I didn't break. But at the same time, I feel horrible, like, asking my mom for this money in the grand scheme of things. Like, I owe her so much more than I could ever repay her for, that asking her for a few dollars to fix a charger seemed crazy to me. But Katie was like, now I need my money.
But you're not asking your mom for the money. Your mom is like, I'll get you a new one. And I think you take that away from her being able to fix what she broke. And that's going to give her, like, that's going to make her feel good to be able to replace the charger. Like, she's doing it for you, but also she would be doing it for herself because she knew she broke it and she wants to feel better about the situation. Does that make sense?
That does make sense, but it still feels wrong to me, like to ask my mom to replace something so small.
I'm with you. Let's hear from Katie.
Yo, no, Dirty Diane.
Dirty Diane.
Dirty Diane.
No. Because as my mother, who has broken stuff, spilled cranberry on the carpet, and a whole bunch of other things in the house, right? She raised me to stand up for myself and stand my ground. So no matter who you are, you owe me. So I love you, but also pay for what you broke.
Now, here's where I feel like there's a big difference, okay? So your mom, Mo, was visiting you.
Yes.
Katie, your mom is living with you. You guys are roommates.
Unfortunately.
Right. So that does change things for me.
Why?
I think because your mom is, I mean, that's her roommate right there. So even if it's her mom, her roommate should pay for the broken charger. Whereas in your case, I think you pay for the broken charger.
Do you really?
Yeah.
To me, the difference here is that she offered to buy you a new charger. It'd be one thing if she broke it and you went, hey, Mom, you know that charger that you destroyed?
Mm-hmm.
But she's offering. Mm-hmm. So to me, the difference is she wants to give you a gift.
And I do get that aspect of it. And yeah. I appreciate it. I love that my mom is like, I broke it. Let me fix it. But I'm pretty sure, like, if I were to say, Mom, don't worry about it. It's all good. She would accept that. So if I don't say that.
Oh, okay.
You see
okay.
what I'm saying?
Okay. Now we're wading into different waters.
It just, but she, now I did try. I was like, yeah. Mom, seriously. And she's like, no, I broke it. I'm sending you the money. That's final. And I appreciated that. But it just felt like dirty money to me, right? Like, I don't feel right taking money from my mom.
I'm with you.
Okay.
You're on The Burt Show.
All right, so what you got going on in your life you want to share with The Burt Show here, like this one here. How do you handle this situation? You guys play therapy here. 1-855-BURT-SHOW. Her husband is afraid to get intimate with her, and she wants to help him, but she doesn't know what to do. So where do you even start with that? Abby's got the email.
Hey there, Burt Show crew. I'm reaching out in hopes that maybe someone somewhere can help me and my husband figure out the one area in our relationship that just isn't going well. To give a quick preface, my husband grew up very religious. He attended a religious school and even was asked to be a chaplain at his current job. I'm also religious, but I grew up with a more common setting. I was a public school kid, so our upbringing was vastly different. Now on to where we're having issues. My husband has never played the piano with anyone, so when it came to our wedding night, we expected a quick but fun piano session. However, his anxiety has made him incapable of playing the piano.
That's tough, man. Yeah.
We managed to share one performance together, but now he cannot seem to get out of his own head. We've discussed this, and I have a ton of questions like, are you afraid you won't play well enough? Are you unhappy with me as a piano playing partner? Etc. And it always comes back to the same answer. No, he says he's just scared, and I truly do not know what to do to help him. We have gone to Dr. Google, and it all comes back to the same questions I've asked, but nothing about just being scared to try something that he has not tried before. I am praying that someone out there in Burt Show listener land has experienced this and can give us some advice. He feels very alone, and it is so hard to watch him feel so defeated. I just want to help him because it's breaking me to hear him repeatedly say, I am failing you as a husband. He's definitely not. For the record, and I will be as patient and supportive as I should be. If anyone has any advice, I would be forever grateful. Thanks so much. Pam.
1-855-BURT-SHOW. This guy's got so much pressure on himself.
He is.
I really think that he needs to see a doctor one-on-one. Like, I think he's got issues here that he may not be entirely comfortable sharing with you. And I think seeing a doctor that specializes in this one area, because it's probably not a physical thing. This is a mental thing right here, that he's so sketched out. He can't enjoy all this. Parts aren't even working right. So there are doctors that specialize in this. And I think that's where you start.
Well, and I'm going to go the religious route. If the church has always been there for him, the church should be there for him now. I mean, this is his wife. And he should be able to have like a trusted religious advisor that, because I think, but she brought up religion so much, you can't help but wonder if that is playing part of the mental game of him getting over this hurdle of wanting to be intimate with his wife. So I would hope that somebody in the church could give him that guidance. Why are you making that face?
Because I'm having feelings that I know I'm going to get crap about, but who cares? For me, right? In a case like this, I'm not going to a bunch of priests that have never had sex to get advice. Now, they can guide me on, you know, and they can give me approval because you're married now. But, you know, when it comes to the physical stuff, I would rather choose science here than my spiritual advisor.
Gotcha. And I'm saying it doesn't even have to be a priest. It could be somebody else in your church who is also married that you...
In the church community group?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's safe there. No one's going to talk. Right. I'd rather go to the doctor, I think.
No, I think going to a pastor or a priest is the absolute wrong thing, because they're just going to say something in like Christianese of like, I'll pray for it. I'm gonna lay hands on you. We just gonna.
Yeah. Christianese. I'm sorry. That is fantastic.
No, but that's what it is. And coming from someone who like is very involved in their church. I mean, not now. I haven't been to church yet since I've been to Atlanta. But as someone who has grown up in church circles, there are things that people just throw out there that just sound like they're taking something from like a Webster dictionary. And it's like this Band-Aid that they try to throw on it, where it's like, well, we're just going to pray about it, or we're going to cast out that demon of whatever. And it's just,
we're going to pray the ED away.
We're going to pray the ED away. But what's the point of being a part of that community if they can't be there for you?
You got
to find the right group of people.
You do.
And I used to be a part of a group of girls that we would, I can't even remember what the specific verse was, but we would drink wine together and talk about God. And so we called ourselves like the John 3:16 girls or something, because it was like a certain passage about drinking wine and being a Christian. And so I think you got to go to people who have been in that experience. So a church group, but people that you trust, and not people that are just going to like throw Bible verses at you.
Yeah, from the sounds of it, I mean, I feel like she's doing all she can do, being patient and being supportive and letting them know that it's all good, whatever the outcome may be. I think this is a him thing. And I if I were in his shoes, I understand not being comfortable wanting to talk to anybody about this. Mm-hmm. So I feel like maybe reading, maybe finding different books or articles where men who have experienced this can kind of speak to how they got out of it. And if I'm in his shoes, that's probably what I would lean on.
Now, we definitely should have had a professional on, but we didn't. So here's my unprofessional advice. We've talked about exposure therapy lately, right? So what if you tie him up and blindfold him?
That's going to put his mind at ease.
Right. What?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out how you think this is about to help.
I want to play this out.
Yeah.
So I mean, that way.
So you guys, you got a guy that's terrified of having sex,
right?
And the first, your therapy is, let me tie you up, and blindfold you.
Wait,
to make it as uncomfortable and unpredictable and unsafe as possible.
It's gonna be safe. So let me put my readers on and pretend that I am a sex therapist when I am actually not remotely one, considering the lack of sex my husband and I are having. Are you ready? I am so underqualified for this right now. But if you're thinking exposure therapy, what if, like, that way there's no pressure on him to perform whatsoever? Literally, the only thing he has to do is just lay there. So she puts him in the bed, she blindfolds him, and she hops on it and rides it like a good cowgirl, and then boom, you did it.
I think you might be simplifying things.
I know I am.
You're turning him into a pillow princess.
I'm mad at it, though. It might work.
Right?
It might work.
I mean, it's kind of sexy.
It is.
Here's Melissa. She wants in. Hey, Melissa, good morning, and thank you for joining the combo. What's up?
Good morning, guys. I'm here to the rescue. So I am actually a licensed marriage and family therapist.
Okay.
Yay. Here we go.
Melissa, on a scale of 1 to 10.
Therapy.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how bad was my advice?
It looks like a 5 or a 6.
Okay.
Yeah, not completely awful, but definitely not what we would do.
She's being nice.
Yeah.
So I think that this is very, very common. I actually know this is very common. This is one of the populations that sparked my interest into sex therapy, actually. And very conservative, religious communities, this is way more common than people realize. And so I think that the couple would be a really good fit for sex therapy, like talk sex therapy with a licensed provider. And I think it's something that they should do together as a couple.
So you would suggest it would be more advantageous to do together than him seeing somebody professionally alone?
Absolutely. And that's also after he's gone to a doctor and made sure that from a biological hormonal perspective that everything is clear.
Okay.
But yes. Absolutely, it's something that they can tackle together. And as you know, I'm a little biased because I am a marriage and family therapist. That's what I specialize in. I always encourage couples to try to do things like this together as much as possible.
Got it. So we should leave Jesus and handcuffs out of this.
At least in the beginning.
I try. What?
That just sounds like a really great band name.
Oh, Jesus and handcuffs.
Nobody's coming to see you.
Nope.
But it looks good on the banner.
It does, doesn't it?
You're on The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
Before we get into this Kanye West lawsuit, I want to revisit the story we talked about in the 7 a.m. e-buzz about Maddie Healy. Some of our listeners were kind enough to point out some of the other information that's been floating around because there's just so much coming out about this guy. It's really disturbing. So in the 7 a.m. e-buzz, we kind of lumped him in with like... He was on a podcast where people had made racist comments. And while he did not specifically utter those racist comments, he did respond right after and almost, I don't want to say endorsed it, but I'll read the transcript in front of me. So the people on the podcast were talking about an artist that Taylor Swift is collabing with on a remix that's coming out tonight. Her name is Ice Spice. And in this podcast, it says, or one of the podcast hosts says, this chubby Chinese lady... and then they go on to start, they start to mock, Asian accents and it's just horrible. And then
he says the chubby Chinese line or somebody else does.
And then Maddie responds, yeah, that's what Ice Spice is like. So it's honestly semantics, but I wanted to make sure that I clarified that. But it's also even that in that same podcast, he goes on to say that he masturbates to porn, that sexually degrades and humiliates women of color. So there's just a lot of problematic stuff that comes out in that podcast. Wow. That
you gotta mow that one.
Nice. I wanted to make sure that I included that because I think it's really important to the context of why people are so outraged about everything that's going on and why Swifties in particular are so upset that Taylor is being associated with this guy.
Yeah, it is confusing. I mean, this is on her own personal life. First of all, let me ask you this question. Have they ever actually come out and confirmed they're dating?
So they haven't. So it's very much alleged. But I think what Swifties and me in particular are so upset about is that even when this stuff was coming more to the forefront of the news cycle, she was still going out of her way to be seen with him. He was at her concerts. He was outside of a studio with her. And so while I understand they have a previous friendship and I understand that can be really conflicting, it was a little bit off-putting to Swifties. It felt like she was sort of doubling down on it.
Yeah, I guess, you know, when you're a star of that magnitude and everything you do is under a microscope, it's got to be very, very difficult. I think with Taylor especially, so many of her fans put their love for her into her values. That's what makes her Taylor, right? So knowing this, right, is a little bit counter to how they feel her values are. So it's got to be deeply disappointing to her most hardcore fans.
It really is.
Is there a world where Taylor Swift and her her people made this feature with Ice Spice happen and they were none the wiser of Maddie Healy's comments on this podcast?
That is my assumption, mainly because on March 27th, Taylor Swift accepted an award at the iHeart Music Awards, and everything Taylor does is very strategic. And so at the iHeart Music Awards, Ice Spice was actually one of the people that announced the fact that she had won this award. And I believe this was prior to the comments even happening with Maddie Healy. And so my assumption as a fan is that they had been working on this remix for a while.
Yeah.
And that the timing of this is just like the worst case scenario, honestly, for the song.
I don't know how often Taylor speaks up on issues or how often her team does, but I feel like if that is the case in a situation like this, she should certainly clarify that if this was her working with Ice Spice is completely not connected to this guy and his comments, then I think it would be certainly worth making that known.
Yeah, she's in a tough spot here because she is deeply personal and keeps that side of her life to herself.
She's
very private. Thank you. Which she's certainly entitled to. I mean, this is a human being. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's not just a celebrity. She is a human being, right? So she has this almost a responsibility that she almost must resent sometimes, that she has to explain the things in her private life in order to be professionally successful. But she's navigated that in such a brilliant way. And she's so respected that this must be a very conflicting thing for her.
Is this a deal breaker? Like, if they are... Again, because there's just so many assumptions. We don't know if they actually are dating.
Right.
I mean, it's definitely been alluded to, like them holding hands and being seen certain places. Like they've added fuel to the fire, you know, to add more smoke, but still not confirming that they are in a relationship. But now that this is out there, I feel no matter how private you are, you have to get ahead of this.
Yeah. It's just such a fresh, or not a frustrating situation. It's just heartbreaking that we even have to have these conversations, period. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens moving forward with Taylor, because it's kind of a crapshoot right now.
You know, I'm talking hypothetically on how Swifties must be feeling about this, but you are one. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about this whole relationship?
Well, it's frustrating because it feels like you can't enjoy her music, because it's like, oh, I've loved these songs for years, and now here we go, she's being associated with this guy who's making comments that I certainly do not want to be associated with whatsoever. So it's a frustrating experience for fans, honestly.
It's a frustrating experience. I totally agree with you. At the same time, it's not fair to hold a woman accountable for a man's actions.
I could not agree more. So it's like, how do you separate who she's associated with? Because it's not even comments that she's made, you know what I mean? It's just somebody that she's been photographed with and is allegedly dating. We didn't even get to this Kanye thing, but he's in the middle of a $2 million lawsuit. Gap's suing him.
Being sued by someone else again.
Yeah. Surprise!
It's not even newsworthy anymore. Report on it when he's not. And when there's a day he's not being sued.
You can read more about it at thebirdshow.com. Click eBuzz.
The Bird Show.
He was so excited to go out with her. He considered her like the perfect woman. And then she hit him with this extreme timeline of her life and really turned him off. Now, this happened a while ago, and we call today follow-up Thursday, where you guys remind us of things that we haven't followed up on. Then we start to do the homework on it. This one came from Ashley Bryson, who says, "Hey, y'all, I need a follow-up from March of 2021. It started as a ditch or date segment. Craig and Lindsay had a date. And he was falling for her, really liked her, and wanted a second date. But her relationship timeline threw him for a loop. So as a joke, he made his own relationship timeline, kind of an agreement, with his own terms and conditions. And she loved it. There was an update, I think, closer to Christmas of 2021, and they were still going strong. But I would love to know if they're still together. Thanks so much. With love."
All right, so she was right on her timing. This all started back in March of 2021. Craig went out with Lindsay, and she gave him a dating timeline of relationship markers to hit by a certain time in their relationship. And her timeline included 1 month exclusive, 2 months have met each other's friends, 3 months have met each other's families, 6 months live together, 9 months discuss engagement rings, 12 months engaged, 2 years married by house, 3 years expecting first child.
We thought, I thought initially she was joking.
Yeah, I didn't think she was joking. I just didn't know how well received that was going to be. But he actually received it well.
Although,
that was so shocking.
Although, you know, if you want it like out of the box thinking, right? Looking at things a different way, she's being clear on what she expects and what she wants.
That's a fact.
Right? Now, you can take it or you can leave it. Most are going to leave it. But he decided, you know what? All right, I'll play along.
He appreciated how blunt she was, but didn't know if it was too much too soon. He wanted to bounce, but he ended up taking our suggestion because we, you know, like either A, making things worse or at least making them entertaining. And he sent her a counter contract as a joke with some amendments to her timeline. But after one look at the contract, she says, "I love that you were even more thorough and direct than I am." He didn't want to be the a-hole by saying it was a joke, so he went along with it. And in an unexpected twist of events, he started to fall for her. They signed the agreement, and last we heard, they were exclusive. So that means, it had been past the one-month mark, they were exclusive. And now our listener wants to know, have Craig and Lindsay taken the next step in their relationship timeline or not?
All right, so our studio director, Tommy.
They should be married and have a house by now.
Is it that long?
Has it been that long?
If it all started in March of 2021, if we are 2 years later, they should be married and they should have a house.
All right, let's see if there was any wiggle room. So Tommy reached out, did the homework on it, and Abby's got the email.
Well, we haven't exactly been sticklers to the timeline. Thankfully, Lindsay eased up just a little bit. According to the schedule, as we affectionately call it, we should be posting pics of our new house with a just married banner by now. But spoiler alert, that's not quite where we're at. The whole 12 months engaged thing, we stretched that one a bit. It took me a year and a half, but I finally worked up the nerve to pop the question.
Shut up!
And She said yes. So yes, we're officially engaged, just 6 months off schedule.
Hey, that's better than most contractors. Mm-hmm. Good for you.
The 2 years married and buy a house deal? Not quite. We're still working on that. Wedding set for August, though. And honestly, the timing feels right. Thankfully, Lindsay seems to agree that the timing was better for us than what she had originally planned. As for the house, well, we've decided to tackle that right after the wedding. But about the 3 years expecting first child milestone, it's not totally out of the question. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think we might actually be on track for that one. I'll let you know when we can check that box. Craig.
I feel like this is a Kate Hudson, Matthew McConaughey movie ready to happen.
The schedule.
Right.
Oh. You got it.
You made it sound horror. Okay. I think for most men it probably is.
It is.
Horrid.
One woman, one man, one schedule. Will there be a baby in 3 years?
All right, let's go ahead and highlight a couple of kids and give them the Burt Show's Kindness Award. Look, if you've got a kid that is just super kind. I mean, they volunteer, they do things out of the goodness of their heart. Go ahead, and we give them just a little bit of Burt Show love each and every day. So you can hit us up at theburtshow.com. Kristen.
Oh, we have Olivia Frost. She is 7 of Buford, Georgia. She's a rising second grader at Ivy Creek Elementary and was nominated by her mama, Lauren Frost.
Hi, my name is Lauren, and I want to nominate my daughter, Olivia. She's 7 years old and goes to Ivy Creek Elementary in Buford. Not only is she kind when it comes to her school classmates, she always finishes her work and then helps the kids at her table, and we just hear wonderful things from her teachers. But we foster animals in our home, and when we bring in new cats or dogs, she's just lovely with them, helps them find a home, gives it her all, and really puts everything into the volunteer work with the animals. And for a 7-year-old, she's been doing it since she was really little, and it's just wonderful to see that compassion and that kindness from her. So I want to nominate her, and I think she's amazing.
Nominate your kid, nominate a kid. Hit us up at theburtshow.com.
Thanks for listening. Get more Burt Show fix at theburtshow.com or follow us on social media at The Burt Show.